From Quality Radio Productions, it's the Upstate Radio Theater, an hour of sounds from radio's golden age, coming to you from New York's Finger Lakes region. I'm Jake Longwell. It's a pleasure to have your company once again. Today we have episodes of two lesser-known radio series from the early 1950s. First, an episode of Hello, Sucker. This series was produced at WMAQ, the NBC radio station in Chicago, and it was produced in cooperation with the Better Business Bureau of Chicago, the series designed to help educate the public on the many cons and swindles that were taking place in the city of Chicago, but could frankly happen anywhere. As such, the series aired on the entire NBC radio network. This broadcast, program number 6 in the series, first aired on February 9th of 1952. Photography Swindles, also known as Portrait of a Sucker.
But those pictures were no good, I tell you. I paid $26 for them. $26! And they don't even look like me. Hello? Hello?
Hello, sucker.
Station WMAQ presents Hello Sucker in cooperation with the Better Business Bureau of Chicago to help you recognize some of the schemes and rackets now making the rounds in Chicago. Business people are honest and fair with the public, almost 100%. But there is a small minority which preys on the unsuspecting public through petty schemes and rackets. And although these rackets are continually exposed and their perpetrators prosecuted, many continue year after year with new ones being concocted and old ones revived with a new slant. Don't let the expression, "Hello, sucker," refer to you. Protect yourself. Listen to Chapter 6, Portrait of a Sucker, on Hello, Sucker.
My name's Ralph Sellers. I run a neighborhood restaurant, a nice, respectable place, you understand. No rough stuff, any funny business. Not in my place. I like to have my friends drop in when they feel like it, for a sociable evening. And what I could tell you about the little chiseling photography rackets in this town. Boy, I got a liberal education in that line, and I'm telling you, owing to an experience I had that I'd just soon forget. It started off like this. You see, I got a nice hall in the back of my building that I often rent out to customers for wedding parties and such. And last year, I decided to go all out and throw an honest-to-goodness real McCoy fancy costume party myself. And the night it came off, I stood at the door of my place greeting the customers as they came in.
Well,
if it isn't old man Neptune and a mermaid arriving.
Evening, Ralph.
Hello, Mr. Sellers.
Well, come on in, Mr. and Mrs. It is Ed Botine under all those fishtails, isn't it?
I told you we couldn't fool him, Edna.
This mermaid is Edna, Ralph.
Mr. Sellers, I think this party's the most wonderful idea.
Well, you look magnificent, the both of you.
Thank you.
Aren't we grand? We spent $10 on these costumes.
Why, it's simply magnificent. Gosh, it's sure a lot of elegant folks walking through the doors of a little old Blue Moon restaurant tonight.
Yeah, and I'll bet all the wives are getting just as big a kick out of dressing up fancy as Edna is. I gotta hand it to you, Ralph.
Hey, here, I'll take it.
Oh, thanks.
Oh, I just know this party's gonna be one we're gonna remember, Mr. Sellers.
I sure hope so, Mrs. Botine. Now, let's see. You're at table number...
We're sharing a table without a Clance and his missus.
Oh, sure. Table number 14. The Clances aren't here yet, though. But come right along with me, folks. Right through the dining room into the ballroom.
Oh, listen to him, man. The ballroom yet. Blue Moon Hall, a ballroom.
Oh, I think it's nice. Is Mrs. Sellers here?
Oh, pretty soon. She's coming with her sister and her brother-in-law.
Why? Yeah. I came in from the country for this.
Yeah.
You really did some promoting, Ralph.
Well, here's table number 14, folks. Now, which way would you rather face, Mrs. Botine?
Looks like you got your choice.
This one, please.
All right.
Oh, my. Is that a flashbulb? Oh, Mr. Sellers, you got a photographer here and everything.
Hey, just like those swanky nightclubs, Ralph.
You think of everything. Well, I want all my friends to have a good time at the Blue Moon tonight.
Of course, these pictures won't have those fancy nightclub price tags on them.
How much?
Well, this photographer fellow came around offered Doom for 35 cents a print.
Hey, not bad.
Oh, mm. Ed, wouldn't it be nice to have a picture of us in our costumes for our album? Hmm. And maybe Mother'd like to have one, too.
Well, that's kind of what I thought, Miss Boateen. Maybe my friends would like some little mementos of the party tonight. So they can remember how they looked that night when they got themselves up so elegant.
Well, don't you think we ought to wait till the classes get here, Edna?
Well,
Ed, you do whatever you like about that, folks. Now, whenever you want a photographer, just have him come on over to the table.
Well, is he going to develop those pictures right here tonight?
No. He's just shooting them tonight. Have him shoot as many as you want. See, he's going to bring all the proofs into me in a week or two, and then I'll take your order after you've seen the proof.
Huh. Oh, now, isn't that nice, Ed? We only have to take the ones we want.
That's right, Miss Boateen. You pay me for however many pictures you want, and then I just send your order to the photographer, see?
Yeah, that's your service, Ralph.
Oh, thanks, Ed. Well, you folks enjoy yourselves now. I'll send a waiter right over for your order, and if you'll excuse me, I'll get back to the door. My wife ought to be getting here any minute now. And when I got back into the hall, sure enough, there's Sue already waiting for me.
Oh, there you are, Ralph. Elvin, Clem and I were just wondering what happened to you.
Well, I was seating some customers at their table and telling them about the photographer. Oh, hello, Elvin, Clem.
Hello, Ralph.
You mean you've got one of those candid photographers here tonight, Ralph?
Oh, he isn't a candid cameraman,
well,
Clem.
Well, I sure hope he don't suck nobody in like I got sucked in last time I came to Chicago. He could ruin a good party.
Oh, Clem, you never going to get over that 50 cents.
I don't care if it was only 50 cents. It's the principle of the thing, Elvie. We came into the city one time last summer to a ball game.
Well, Clem, you never told us you were here.
It was when the White Sox were in the middle of that winning streak.
Oh, yeah.
Had some neighbors with us, and we were making kind of an occasion of it. Well, one of those candid cameramen snapped a picture of us as we were going into the ballpark.
Well, I didn't know there were any more of those guys around.
There sure were at the ballpark that day. And before I hardly realized he took our picture, up he steps and asked me a little envelope with some printing on it. The printing says, send it to the studio with 50 cents inside, and they'll mail us the picture they snapped.
Oh, you mean you really sent it in? Oh, Clem. I thought everybody knew what a jip those street photographers are.
Oh, we just sent it in for a kind of a gag. You know, curiosity. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't have minded so much if we'd never heard from them again, but what do you think we get back in the mail?
Some terrible pictures, probably.
Pictures, my eye. A little printed card that says the pictures didn't turn out well. And this card is a credit card.
A credit card?
It says, and when you see one of our photographers on the street, just hand him this card. He will be glad to snap your picture free of charge.
Oh, boy, that's a new one, Clem.
Maybe so.
Yeah.
What I want to know is, do I have to come 100 miles to Chicago from where I live, travel up and down the streets to find one of those cameramen and get my 50 cents worth of picture? Right.
Oh, Clem, I've heard enough about that silly sidewalk, man.
Oh, why don't we go on into party, Ralph? Elvin and Clem drove a long way for this. It's an occasion.
Credit card.
Sure. I'll take you in, but I have to come back and watch the door for a while. A few people aren't here yet, but come on.
I've been gypped just one time too many on those chiseling little picture rackets.
Clem, not now. We come to Chicago to enjoy ourselves at this party.
All right, Elvie. Well, just you wait till this party's over. I'm going to give Sue and Ralph an earful.
Well, luckily, the sour note from my brother-in-law, Clem, didn't ruin the party that night. As far as Sue and I could tell, everybody had a wonderful time, wives and all. Was I pleased to have that photographer on hand. You know, 75 customers, all dressed up, fit to kill, could keep a camera clicking and flash bulbs popping for the better part of an evening. It was real late, time we all got home to my front door.
Ooh. Oh, Elf, honey, it was a big success. Now I'm sleepy.
Me too. And we have to start back to the farm early.
Yeah, I think the folks had a real good time. That photographer taking pictures was sure a swell idea, Sue. You know, he must have taken pictures of everybody there.
All I gotta say is I hope you don't get gypped on the whole deal.
Oh, now, Clem, let's not get started on that again. Come on to bed.
No, sir. I've been keeping my mouth shut all evening about this, and I told Ralph I was going to give him an earful.
Yeah, but how could I get gypped, Clem? I only collect the money for the pictures and pay the cameraman with it.
Now, look here, Ralph. What I want to know about, if that photographer feller wants to jip you, he'll figure out some way.
Clem, you just got it in for all photographers. Just because one little sidewalk operator took you for 50 cents.
Oh, no. Now, Elvie and I got took on a lot fancier deal than that.
Oh,
All right, Clem, you might as well tell them. It was plenty fancy, all right.
Well, this here deal was an air view to the farm.
Oh?
A slick-talking guy, one of those city guys, comes around to see us one day, and he gives us a big sale.
Last few days, we've been flying over this neighborhood, Mr. Allen. We couldn't help noticing what an outstanding, well-kept farm yours is.
Oh, I don't know. Elvie and I keep ourselves pretty busy with it, of course.
Well, your effort certainly shows, Mr. Allen, from the air especially. Now, I'd like to interest you and Mrs. Allen in some aerial photos of this beautiful place.
Pictures from the air? What in the world for?
Well, I was just coming to that, Mrs. Allen. Newest thing, you know. Shows what progressive people you are. Now, a large color picture of your farm would be mighty nice to have on view in your living room. I'll show you one now. Here. Now, see this nice gold frame and the beautiful shadings of color in that picture?
Well, say, that is pretty, but what...
What size is that?
Well, this is the 11 by 14 size and a real buy.
How much?
Oh, a real buy at only $60. Just the thing to show in your living room.
$60?
Show that off in the living room? The whole county would think we were crazy.
I always suggest that just to try folks out. I should have known better. I didn't really think you'd be interested in one of these. You aren't the kind of folks that go in for show.
Well, I should say not.
No, I could tell just looking around that you're practical, solid citizens who wouldn't go for something like that. However, I do have some other items for practical, solid people like yourself. Now, for instance, some nice Christmas cards showing a picture of your farm in color. Now, here. You see? Like these. Now, take a look at these, Mrs. Allen.
Mm. Yeah. They are kind of pretty. Look, Clem. Aren't they, Clem?
Yeah, they're good looking. How'd we know our place would look like that, though?
Oh, I forgot. I have something to show you. While our photographer was up the other day, he took the liberty of making a sample photo of your place.
Of our place? From the air?
Uh-huh. Now, just to give you an idea, of course. Now, here. Here it is.
Well, look, Clem. It's the pig pen.
Darned if it isn't. Hey, what do you know? The pig pen. Say.
Of course, that'll only give you a rough idea. Very rough.
Well, I can't see sending out Christmas cards with a picture of our pig pen. Anyway, that's not in color.
Well, no, but of course we'd get a better view than that, Mr. Allen, naturally.
No, I don't think so, mister.
Well, then, have you ever thought about having an air photo of your farm on your letterhead? Now, a nice letterhead in color, of course. Here, let me show you a sample here. There. See? Now, isn't that attractive, Mrs. Allen?
Real pretty. You like it, Clem?
It is kind of neat at that.
Now, suppose you had pictures of your own farm up there at the top. We'd make another shot, of course, and dress it up with some ornamental printing. The name of your place. I say, that'd finish it off nicely. Stationery like this, you know, makes a good impression on the people you have correspondence with. Shows how up-to-date you are.
You mean this place of ours would show up like this? Print it up on paper?
Maybe even better than this, Mr. Allen. You have quite a lot of correspondence, I imagine. Most people in the farming business do. Now, if you'd like to give them an order for some color photos, I'll make you a very good price. We'll have them delivered in 2 or 3 weeks.
Well, Clem, color pictures of the farm on letterhead sounds all right to me. Gotta let people know you're in business, you know. I think that'd make up into real handsome stationery.
Who said it wouldn't? That's not what got my goats. We paid the guy a deposit, $17.50, half of what the pictures were supposed to cost. He left that black and white sample... Said he'd be back.
And?
We've never seen hide nor hair of him since. All we got for our $17.50 is a measly old air view of our pig pen.
All right, so maybe $17.50 isn't a fortune. I guess Elvie and I aren't going broke on account of that. It's just that it makes you so doggone mad playing sucker for one of those slickers.
You know, it never even occurred to me that I might be in training to be a sucker myself. About a week after the party, the photographer fella brought a real nice batch of proofs around the Blue Moon where my customers could look at them and leave the money for their orders with me. And in time, the word got around, everybody got through on and on over the samples. I must have sent in an order for around 200 pictures. I know I collected close to 70 of my customers' bucks for those pictures, and the photographer took 50 bucks when he collected the order. Well, then the monkey business started. After more than a month, my customers were wondering out loud when the pictures were going to be delivered. And one morning, while I was washing and polishing up, in come Mrs. Otto Clance.
Mr. Sellers.
Oh, morning, Mrs. Clance.
Any word about the pictures yet, Mr. Sellers?
You know, I was just thinking I'd better check with that studio today.
Don't you think it's about time we were getting those pictures?
Well, it was a kind of a big order, Mrs. Clance.
I'll just wait here, Mr. Sellers, while you go and call that studio and find out what's the matter.
Hmm? Oh, yes. Well, that's a good idea. Excuse me, I'll be right back.
We have six pictures coming to us. Three each of two different things.
Well, the studio put me off. Same way they've been doing for 2-3 weeks. They were awful rushed, they said. It was going to be another couple of weeks. So I hung up. Sat there a minute. Hating to have to go back and tell that to Mrs. Clance. Then the minute I started, I could tell it was going to be more than just Mrs. Clance.
And I got to thinking the other day that it's almost like the time I got taken in on that wedding album racket when Ed and I got married.
Well, I got ringed too, and she took as a baby.
Oh, yeah?
We got here to come.
But I heard him. I stopped and got a couple of cups of coffee for him. Took it on to the end of the counter where they were sitting. Huh. Morning, Mrs. Poteen. You ladies join me in some coffee on the house?
To make up for some more of that studio's delay, I came to find out about our pictures, Mr. Sellers.
Well, the studio just told me it's going to be another couple of weeks. So I'm sure sorry. I couldn't help hearing you as I was coming out of the phone booth. Something about pictures of the baby, you said, Mrs. Clance?
Well, we were just comparing notes about some other trouble we had about pictures.
I hear you say you got rimmed, Mrs. Clance?
We both did, Mr. Sellers. In different deals.
Oh, how was that, Mrs. Boutine?
Well, mine was on a wedding album when Ed and I got married last year. And I, when one of those door-to-door men called on me and told me he was keeping... sold me on keeping a photographic record of the baby's development. That's what he called it.
Oh, say, now, that's a shame. How'd they go about selling you on the idea, anyway?
Mr. Sellers, when it's a picture of some big occasion in your life, you... you don't need much of a sales talk. You just naturally want to have pictures of your wedding and your baby.
Well, about this wedding album of yours...
Oh, that photographer showed me the nicest album. Pictures in it were so pretty.
Yeah, I've seen those albums. They are nice.
Yeah, if you ever get it, it's nice. Oh, that photographer told me he'd make up one just like that for me. We were supposed to get 21 pictures and one enlargement for $45. The album to put them in was another 15.
Oh, that's not exactly cheap, Mrs. Boutine.
Well, it's worth that much to have pictures of your wedding, Mr. Sellers. I mean, well, it's worth it if you ever get the pictures.
But didn't you ever see any?
Oh, I saw some proofs, and we picked out our 21 pictures. We paid him about $35 in advance. He wanted the rest of the money, too, but I told him he'd get that when I got my pictures. And do you know, I've never been able to get them to this day.
And he still got your money?
Every penny I paid him.
But can't you do anything about it, Miss Boutine?
Well, how can I? He isn't in the phone book, doesn't have a studio anymore. I was just a sucker, I guess. That's all.
Well, at least I did get my free picture of the baby.
Yeah, you did better than I did.
Free, huh? $30 worth of free.
A salesman called you said, Miss Clance?
Knocked on my door one day and handed me a card. It was worth $1, he said. Entitled me to a free 8x10 picture of the baby. The photographer would come right to your home. You wouldn't have to bother getting the baby ready for a studio appointment.
That's all right.
Yeah, that part of it's fine. Baby always gets so upset if you're taken into strange surroundings. Well, I agreed to take one of those, what do they call it, one picture every 6 months for 5 years offers, $1 each. The salesman wasn't so insistent the first time. But after that, next time, he explained to me they were in business to make a profit, and it was hardly worth their making the trip out to my house for only $1. It made me feel like, well, like about 2 cents.
Yeah, and so you order a lot of pictures.
$30 worth. I certainly can't keep that up every 6 months.
Oh, it's just another one of those chiseling little rackets.
Of course. For $30, I could have a real good picture of my baby. And what I got was 6 pictures, all dark and funny looking. Why, you can hardly recognize my little Otto.
Oh, gee, Mrs. Clance, that's a shame. It's a dirty gyp, that's what it is.
That reminds me, Mr. Sellers. I came in here to see you about...
Mrs. Clance, before you say another word, let me tell you something. Nobody that had pictures made at that fancy dress party is going to get gypped. I can assure you of that.
We ought to have those pictures in for sure in another couple of weeks.
I guess my trouble is I'm naturally kind of an easygoing guy. I don't like to think the worst of folks. If I'd only taken a warning from what Mrs. Clance was hinting at, I might have got mad and got the whole thing settled that very day without losing any of my friends and customers. No, of course, I had to go along with that line that photographer fellow was feeding me. And by the time another month was gone and still no pictures delivered, I was beginning to wonder what could be happening lately to some of my regular customers. Didn't seem to be dropping in as regular as they used to. And then one evening, some of the guys started taking some sly little pot shots for my benefit. Hey, here's your coffee, Harry.
Bill, say, Harry, got a load of that new tie Ralph's wearing.
Yeah, Bill, pretty fancy number, isn't it? You know, hand-painted ties like that come high.
Oh, what's Ralph care about the high price of ties? He's got so many little sidelines bringing in the dough. What's he care?
Sure, Bill. Nice, quiet little restaurant, a nice little cut in the picture business, maybe.
How about that, Ralph? How is the picture business lately?
Oh, now, listen.
Oh,
fellas,
I can tell you about the picture business, Bill.
Huh?
Some of the places in town are raking in the suckers hand over fist. Ever hear about that mystery tune that studio plays on the radio?
That outfit that calls itself the Grand Studios? Listen, my sister...
Yeah? Your sister, too, huh? Now, we were sitting around one evening. We hear this announcement that says, the first 25 people to call a certain number and correctly identify this tune they're playing will get a free $24.50 gift and a free portrait. So my sister Annie rushes to the phone.
Hello?
This is Annie Ross. I just heard your announcement on the radio, and I know the name of the tune. It's Some Enchanted Evening.
That's correct. What did you say your name was?
Ross, Annie Ross. Am I one of the first 25 people to call? Did I win a prize?
You certainly did, miss. Would you care to call for it at our studio tomorrow? You get a free portrait, too.
Oh, yes, I'd love to come in tomorrow. What time?
About 11 will do. Ask for Miss Claire.
Oh, I'm one of the lucky winners.
So, next day, Annie traipses down to the Grand Studios and goes up to the receptionist and says...
I'm Annie Ross. I won one of your $24.50 prizes and a free portrait on the radio show last night. I'm to ask for Miss Claire.
Have a chair, miss. She'll be right with you.
Thank you.
So Annie waits there 15 minutes or more, and finally a gal comes along and says...
Miss Ross?
Oh, I'm Miss Ross.
Follow me, please.
And so Annie tags along, past a long row of little tiny cubicles about 5x5. And finally they go into one. Then the gal shuts the door and says...
Your name, please?
Ross. Annie Ross.
Age?
21.
Your occupation?
Oh, I'm a student nurse.
I see. No income. Here's your gift, miss. Goodbye.
Oh, thank you. Well, let's see what's inside. Why, only a little card way down there in the bottom. But what about my free portrait, Miss Claire?
That's your gift in the box, miss. Thank you for coming in.
But this is nothing but a card.
You can read what it says later, Miss Ross.
But don't I get my free portrait
you
now?
You have your gift, miss. Now, good morning. We're awfully busy today.
And so when she gets out into the waiting room again, Annie reads what's printed on the card.
5-year portrait pass entitles you to 1 8x10 Silvertone portrait absolutely free without any further obligation. Every 6 months for the next 5 years, total of 10 portraits. 10 pictures? But why didn't you let me get my first one now? Oh, let's see what's printed on the other side. Bearer, blank, address, blank. Date issued, July 1952. July 1952? Why, that's not till next summer.
Poor Annie. They wouldn't have a thing to do with her when they found out she didn't have any income of her own. And the joint will probably be out of business by July.
Yeah, maybe she was lucky at that, Harry. My sister did. And boy, did she get took. Told her she was the sweetheart type. They wanted to make a big oil color picture of her so they could display it in their window. As sweetheart of the month. Some crumb excuse.
Yeah?
And they talked her into having about $25 worth of pictures made so she'd get this big one free. Fancy, eh?
Plenty. Did she give them the right answer to the mystery tune?
No, no. They hooked her in a theater lobby. You know, took her name and address. Then in a few days, she gets a postcard in the mail.
And the card says she gets a free picture.
No, no. It says call some Webster number at her earliest convenience. Sounds urgent, so she calls up. And they tell her she's won a $25 prize. And will she come down to the studio and pick it up?
All right, get it. Same come on, different twist.
That's it. And the prize turns out to be one of those same five-year passes like the one your sister Annie got. All done up in a fancy red and gold box. Only my sister's got a job, so they turn on this picture of the month free oil painting deal. And she bit.
So they got themselves a nice little hunk out of her paycheck,
They sure did.
Picture's any good?
Lousy.
Well, at least when she orders pictures, she did get some pictures, and that's more than a lot of folks around this neighborhood can say. What do you think, Ralph?
Oh, don't you guys know I'd never pull a trick like that on my friends?
You would think somebody you knew wouldn't try to play you for a sucker, wouldn't you, Harry?
Now, listen, fellas. The studio keeps promising all... Fellas, I'm not making anything off these pictures. I only took the orders and passed it on to the studio.
We paid our money to you, didn't we?
Well, yeah, you did pay your money to me, and I paid most of it to the studio when they took that order.
Most of it?
Yeah, $50, and the rest of it's waiting for the studio when they deliver the pictures.
You think they're gonna deliver them, Ralph?
I had enough of this. You guys stay right there. Now, don't go away. I'm going back to the phone right now and find out when.
We'll wait, Ralph.
Haymarket
1, 0026.
I'm sorry, but that number's been disconnected.
Disconnected? There must be some mistake, operator. Give me information.
One moment, please. Information?
Information. What's the number of the Mayfair Photo Studios on West 26th Street?
I'm sorry, sir. We have no such listing.
Are you sure?
Oh, yes, sir. No such listing.
Yeah. Thanks. No longer in business, huh? Boy, I might have known the way they kept stalling me. That's what they were building up to. Now, what do I do? Only thing I can do. Gotta give all that money back to my customers. Every penny of it. So I did refund every cent to my friends who ordered pictures from that chiseling studio through me. It cost me more than $50 out of my own pocket. Of course, it's worth a lot more than that to me to have my friends dropping in regular at the Blue Moon again as friends. But I sure learned a lesson from that whole deal, and I'm not going to forget it very soon. But sometimes it makes me feel awful foolish when I realize that some guy could call me up and say,
"Hello, sucker."
Tonight's script was written by Christine Squire and was based on information secured in cooperation with the Better Business Bureau of Chicago. All characters were fictitious, and any resemblance to any person, living or dead, is purely coincidental. Arthur Peterson played Ralph. Other members of the cast were Geraldine Kay, Eloise Kummer, Jack Lester, Alma Platts, and Russ Reed. Hello, Sucker is produced by Judith Waller with direction by John Cowan. Special music was written by Emil Soderstrom and was played by Adele Scott and Jose Bethencourt. Sound by Tom Evans, engineering by Jack Jenkins. This is John Conrad speaking. Next week, Hello Sucker reveals some interesting facts about buying used cars. This is NBC, the national broadcasting company.
Hello Sucker, a public service presentation of NBC Radio, the series originating at WMAQ in Chicago. Portrait of a Sucker, also known as Photography Swindles. That broadcast from February 9th, 1952. You are listening to the Upstate Radio Theater, an hour of sounds from radio's golden era. I'm Jake Longwell. If you'd like to get in touch with us here at the Radio Theater, our email address is qualityradioproductions@gmail.com. I'd love to hear from you. And if you want more information about the Radio Theater, or if you'd like to stream this and previous episodes in the series, then please visit our website, qualityradioproductions.blogspot.com. upstateradiotheater.com. This is Upstate Radio Theater show number 1616. We'll wrap up the hour with some comedy and an episode of That's Rich, the earliest radio series that I know of to feature the young satirist and comedian Stan Freberg. This series aired on CBS Radio in early 1954. The audition program first aired on November 21st of 1953. Stan Freberg portrays Richard E. Wilt, a sarcastic daydreamer who is constantly looking for a job and also, it seems, looking for a girl. The series also featured Dawes Butler and Peter Leeds, both of whom would go on to become a regular part of Stan Freberg's own comedy variety show on CBS in 1957. Here is that audition show from November 21st, 1953, Rich Meets Freckles.
The turkey vulture, the blue-winged warbler, and the tufted titmouse have moved from Texas to North Dakota. This proves the world is getting warmer. It also proves that birds are smarter than Texans.
Well, that's Rich. Yes, that's Rich, starring Stan Freberg as Rich. We take you now to Hope Springs, California, that bustling little community just a stone's throw from the heart of Hollywood, to the home of Howard Crump, where Richard E. Wilt has been visiting. Howie's had a hard day selling real estate, and right now he'd like to catch a little shut-eye before dinner. So Howie slips into his den, stretches out on the hide-a-bed davenport.
Oh, I knew it. Doorbell's ringing!
In his room, 11-year-old Happy Crump is very busy reading a 3D comic book.
Daddy said the doorbell's ringing!
In her room, 15-year-old Holly Crump is very busy painting her toenails purple. In her room, Hazel Crump is very busy getting supper.
Well, somebody answer it. I'm doing a hand.
Mommy says, well, somebody answer it. She's doing a hand. Holly says, Mommy says, well, somebody answer it. She's doing a hand.
Well, good night. What's she stewing about?
Daddy says, good night. What's she stewing about?
Oh, never mind.
Yes. How do you do? I'm Miss Abbott, the secretary of the Bird Lovers League.
Who?
The Bird Lovers. Aren't you a bird lover?
I hate birds.
Oh, my. Well, isn't this the home of Richard E. Wilt?
No, it's not the home of Richard E. Wilt. It's the home of Howard S. Crump. Richard E. Wilt has been visiting here for 4 months. He's my wife's cousin. Second cousin. Once removed. And he's still here.
Oh, well, aren't you lucky? He's one of our most enthusiastic members, too. May I speak to him, please?
No, I'll see if he's come in. Is Cousin Richard home?
Daddy says, is Cousin Richard home? Happy says, Daddy says, is Cousin Richard home?
Cousin Richard? No, why?
Mom?
Apparently, he's not here.
Dear me, would you ask him to call Miss Ethel Abbott at the Bird Lovers League the moment he comes in? It's very urgent.
Urgent?
Bird business.
Bird business, is that so?
Yes, goodbye.
Goodbye.
Was that somebody for Cousin Richard, dear?
Yeah, some bird brain from the Bird Lovers League. Miss Abbott.
Oh, a girl bird lover.
Well, this one may be a bird lover, but she's no girl.
What was it about?
bird business. It's urgent.
Then I think you ought to call Rich at work. Hollywood 95264, dear.
Thanks, dear. Bird lover boy.
Oh, Howie, you know you like him.
Yeah, I do like him. But how long is he going to keep nesting in my den?
Hello, Consolidated.
I'd like to speak to Richard E. Wilk, please.
Who was it you wished to speak to, please?
Richard E. Wilk.
Will you kindly spell it, please?
Good night. W-I-L-T, like in, will you go with me? I wilt.
Oh. Well, is that the first name or the last name?
The last name. The first name is Richard. R-I-C-H-A-R-D.
R-I-C-H-A-R-D. Oh, Richard!
Yeah, Richard E. Wilt.
Oh, Richard E. Wilt. We don't have a Richard E. Wilt. If he worked here, I'd have heard. I'm the telephone operator. I hear everything.
I bet. Well, thanks a lot. Did you hear that, Hazel? They never even heard of your cousin Richard at Consolidated.
Howie, he works there.
Who says he works? How do you know he doesn't just chase after birds all day? And what's all this malarkey about that contest to name the stationery at Consolidated? Oh, it's you again.
Yes, I've changed my mind.
Oh?
I'm going to indulge myself.
You are?
I'm not going back to the office this afternoon at all. I'm going to watch seagulls.
Seagulls?
Mm-hmm. So will you ask Mr. Wilt to call me right after 9 in the morning? It's so urgent. Goodbye.
Goodbye. Have fun.
Who was it, dear?
Oh, that bird dame again.
Well, anyway, Cousin Richard certainly made a hit with the bird lovers.
Oh, yeah, he's a big man with the birds. But they never heard of him where he works. I tell you, Hayes, I'm going to ask Cousin Rich a few little questions.
Careful. Cousin Richard.
Hello, Richard.
It is not only the turkey vulture, the blue-winged warbler, and the tufted titmouse that have moved north. California's sardines have moved to Norway.
How's that?
How do you know so much, Cousin Richard?
Oh, don't mention it.
Well, Rich, the secretary of the Bird Lovers League, was here today.
Oh, Miss Abbott. Very fine bird man.
Well, anyhow, you're supposed to call her right after 9 tomorrow. She said it's urgent.
Oh, I hope it's no emergency.
Emergency?
Oh, you never know what's going to happen to birds in Los Angeles. Just the other day, a Western roadrunner tried to cross the Hollywood freeway at Sunset Boulevard.
Oh? What happened to it?
It ended up in the Hyperion Sewer Project.
Sit down, Rich. I want to have a little talk with you.
Oh, that's nice, Cousin Howie.
How do you like it at the Consolidated Paper Products Company, Rich?
Oh, it's very educational. Do you realize that they make everything out of paper? Money, milk bottles, bathing suits.
Bathing suits?
Oh, sure.
Boys or girls?
Both.
What happens if somebody tears one?
Tears one? Well, who'd go around tearing bathing suits?
Yes.
Well, I wasn't going to tear any.
Well, I should hope not.
Good night. Just what do you do at this Consolidated Paper Products Company, Richard?
Well, when I first went there, I was a use-no-hooks man.
What?
I stamped use-no-hooks on cartons.
That sounds very important to me.
See, hooks are the natural enemies of paper cartons. Once a paper carton has been really hooked, it's never the same again.
See, Howie?
Then they promoted me to a this-end-up man.
Wasn't that nice? He got a promotion, Howie.
I stamped this-end-up on all cartons in which it is important to be able to tell the top, or head, as we call it, from the bottom.
How can you tell the top from the bottom of a carton?
The top end is the end that reads this end up.
Well, yeah, but how can you tell the top end before it reads this end up?
Why, Cousin Howard, what difference does it make before?
Oh, good night. Look, are you still this end upping cartons?
I've been promoted again. Seems I never got this end up on the wrong end once even.
I thought you just said it didn't make any difference.
Well, Cousin Howard, once you've stamped one end with this end up, that end becomes the up end.
Yeah.
Well, how would a carton look with this end up stamped on its bottom?
Oh, Howard.
Richard, did you say you've been promoted?
Oh, yes. I'm the missing man in the shipping department.
Huh?
Every time anything turns up missing, I get blamed for it. Right now, there's a whole carload of paper doilies addressed to Oskaloosa missing, vanished into thin air in the outskirts of Ashtabula.
Well, now, what about that contest you're in, Rich?
Oh, the contest to name the stationery.
Hmm?
Yeah. Oh, it's a light blue, so I suggested Blue Heron Egg Blue. Not the blue of the blue heron, of course, but the blue of the blue heron's blue egg. Wouldn't that be a great name for a stationery? Blue Heron's Egg Blue?
Oh, great. That'll get you places.
We don't even put our names on our entries. Just a number. I'm number 217.
Well, look, 217. I tried to phone you at the Consolidated Paper Products Company today. Now, maybe you work there, but they never heard of you.
They never heard of me?
That's what the telephone operator said.
She did?
Now, look, Rich, you better stop fooling around with birds.
When it comes to birds, Cousin Howie, I don't fool around.
Well, you better do something to attract a little attention.
Attract attention? Me?
Yes, you might start with that telephone operator who never heard of you.
Now, what can I do to her to attract her attention?
Well, I don't know, Rich, but you better do something. They don't even know at Consolidated whether you're dead or alive.
Maybe they don't. I don't move very often.
Well, next morning, Richard enters the office of the Consolidated Paper Products Company, firmly determined to prove that he's alive. He goes straight to the telephone operator.
Good morning.
Oh, good morning.
Did you ever see me before?
Mm-mm, never.
Oh.
To what are you leading up to?
I work here.
Oh, excuse me. What's your name?
Richard E. Wilt.
Richard E. Oh, I just told somebody yesterday we didn't have a Richard E. Wilt.
I know. It's okay. Freckles.
Did you call me Freckles?
The first name that popped into my mind when I saw you sitting there plugging in and plugging out was Freckles.
Oh. What's your name?
I already told you. Richard E. Wilt.
Oh, I've got it firmly fixed in my mind there isn't such a person.
There is. Richard E. Wilt. Richard E. Wilt. You better say it with me, Mom.
Richard
E.
Wilt.
And once again.
Richard E. Wilt.
Are you beginning to believe I'm alive?
Oh, yes, Richard. I couldn't forget you now if I tried. How do you spell your last name?
W-I-L-T. Like lettuce, see? Lettuce Wilts. When you see me, all you have to do is think of lettuce.
I'll always think of you every time I see a head of lettuce.
Thank you. Can I make a telephone call here?
Personal or business?
Well, it's to the Bird Lovers League.
Oh, a bird call. Well, Consolidated doesn't believe in personal calls, but they don't have a rule about bird calls.
Oh, I see.
Maybe you better use the public pay booth down the hall.
Oh, okay. Thanks. I better check in at my desk for... Gosh, you've got a freckle right at the end of your nose. It just wiggled at me. Good morning, Mr. McCobb. It looks like a nice day.
What makes you think so?
Well, that's what the weatherman says.
Politics. It's all politics.
I see. Oh, did you see this memo?
No.
It says the surprise prize in the stationery contest will be awarded by our president this afternoon. Signed, F.O. Beasley. Gosh, there's going to be a surprise prize.
Yeah. Probably a lifetime supply of paper cups.
Gosh, Mr. McCobb, have you got your indigestion again?
I will before the day's over. Look out, here comes Beasley.
Well, 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 Wilt. Congratulations.
Oh, gosh. Thank you, Mr. Beasley. What for?
You finally made it.
Made what, Mr. Beasley?
Made it to your desk. And only a minute and 35 seconds late.
Oh, don't mention it.
Just take your time, Wilt. We've got all day.
Thanks, Mr. Beasley. You know, Mr. McCobb, this is the first time Mr. Beasley ever paid any attention to me.
Politics. Where are you going, Rich?
Oh, gosh, I got to make a telephone call. Very urgent. Hi, Freckles. I'm going to make that telephone call. Hi. Sure hope nothing has gone wrong with some bird.
How could a bird go wrong?
Ooh, well, just last week, a crane flying over Los Angeles got its legs tangled in a television antenna.
Oh, how awful.
In the confusion, the poor crane laid an egg right in the middle of Arthur Godfrey and his friends.
My goodness, how surprising.
Apparently, the crane enjoyed the whole experience. And now, every time she feels like laying an egg, she picks out a television antenna and waits for Arthur Godfrey to come on. Fortunately, she never has to wait long. Well, this is Richard E. Wilt.
Oh, Mr. Wilt, I'm so glad we found you. Please call Mr. Hackett at Hollywood, 95264. He needs a bird expert right away. We recommended you. Well, goodbye.
Okay, goodbye. Mr. Hackett?
This is not Mr. Hackett.
Where have I heard that voice before?
B.B. Hackett speaking.
Oh, this is Richard E. Wilt speaking.
Yes?
Yes. The Bird Lovers League said you wanted me to call you.
Bird Lovers? Oh, you're the bird expert.
Well.
Could you drop in to see me, Mr. Wilt? I'm at the Consolidated Paper Products Company. Hello?
I'm still here. It sounded like you said you're at the Consolidated Paper Products Company.
Oh, yes, yes, I work there. Could you drop in this morning?
I'm practically there.
Good. Goodbye.
Bye. Freckles, does a B.B. Hackett work here?
Mr. B.B. is our president.
B.B. is...
Well, 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 Wilt. Back again. We've been lonesome for you.
Have you? I had to make a telephone call, which is
why... Well, nice of you to come back.
Oh, don't mention it. Paul...
I am not interested. I just want you to know that I've got my eye on you, Wilt.
Thanks, Mr. Beasley. Oh. Where's Mr. Hackett's office?
Right next to the telephone booth.
Down the hall, right next to... Yeah, I wouldn't have had to waste a dime calling him. Well, thanks, Freckles.
Come in.
I'm Richard E. Wilt.
Hello, Mr. Wilt. I won't take much of your time.
Oh, that's okay, Mr. Hackett. My time is your time.
Good. Now, briefly, we're having a little contest to name a new line of stationery. Our employees have made entries by numbers instead of names.
Yes, I know.
I don't even want to know who suggested what.
Oh, I know. See, I...
The only thing I'm interested in is this. Someone suggested Blue Heron Egg Blue as a name. Now, I don't know what kind of blue Heron Egg Blue is. Do you?
Oh, sure. That's how I... Well, that's how I...
Good, that's fine. Now, here's... Tell me, what's that look like to you?
It looks like Blue Heron Egg Blue to me.
That's it, Blue Heron Egg Blue. Now, what's your home address, Mr. Wilt? We'd like to send you a little token of our appreciation.
Oh, no, Mr. Hackett, you don't realize I work
Nonsense,
for...
Nonsense, my boy, I no, work, no, where do you live?
In Hope Springs, 1100 Heavenly Highway. That's at the dead end.
Well, thank you, Mr. Wilt. I'm a busy man. I know you are, too.
Oh, sure. But, Mr. Hackett, see, I wanted to tell you
blue
about...
Blue Heron Egg Blue. Oh, that's a great idea. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Richard, Mr. Beasley is looking for you.
He is? This sure is my day, isn't it, Frank?
Wilt!
Oh, Mr. Beasley.
Wilt, I have had enough. Enough, you understand? Absolutely enough. You have been away from your desk all morning. I warned you, Will. I have had enough.
I was talking to...
I don't care who you were talking to.
Yeah, but you don't understand. I was talking to the...
I don't care if you were talking to the president of Consolidated. Just tell me this.
Yeah.
What is a carload of our best paper doilies doing in Walla Walla, Washington?
Walla Walla?
Yes. Yeah.
Not Ashtabula?
No.
Walla Walla?
What have you got to say to that, Wilt?
Walla Walla? Not Ashtabula? Excuse me. I've got hiccups.
Richard Wilt, I have reached the end of my rope. You are fired.
I am? Fired?
Now get out! Get out! Get out!
Hi, Cousin Hazel. It's not me.
Why, Richard.
Well, Richard, did you follow my advice today?
Yes, I did, Cousin Howie.
Good. That'll get you places.
Oh, sure. It got me fired.
Fired?
Oh, Rich, what happened?
Well, I had to call the Bird Lovers League and...
Oh, good night. Didn't I tell you to let birds alone during office hours?
Yeah, but...
I'll answer it, somebody!
I'll answer it, dear.
Does number 217 live here?
Number 217? Oh, why, that's Rich. My goodness, what have you got?
A truckload of paper cups.
Cousin Richard, it's a truckload of paper cups for you.
That must be the prize for Blue Heron Egg Blue.
Oh, Rich, a truckload.
Yes, a lifetime supply.
Who would ever live so long? Hello?
Mr. Richard E. Wilt, please.
Oh, just a minute. It's for you, Rich.
Oh, me? Thanks. Hello?
Hello, Richard. This is Freckles.
Hello, Freckles. This is Richard.
I know. Mr. Beasley wants to speak to you.
He does? Ooh, what about?
He'll tell you. Don't hang up, Richard.
Hello, Mr. Will. This is F.O. Beasley.
Hello, Mr. Beasley. Yes, Richard E. Wilt.
Mr. Wilt, I think I may have been a little hasty today.
Oh, sure.
Well, could you get right back to work immediately?
Oh, back to... Oh, sure, Mr. Beasley.
Well, thank you, and the sooner the better, Mr. Wilt.
Goodbye, Mr. Beasley.
Don't hang up, Richard. This is Freckles again.
Oh, Freckles. Where did you come from?
I've been here all the time. You better get back right away, Richard, or Mr. Beasley will get fired for firing the winner of the contest.
Gosh, I sure wouldn't want Mr. Beasley to get fired. Me too, Freckles. How do you spell my name?
L-E-T-T-U-C-E.
Getting warm. Bye, Freckles.
Bye, Richard.
Now what?
I'm hired again.
Well, what did I tell you? While you're alive, the thing to do is move, my boy, move.
Gosh, Cousin Howie. I'm going to use that for one of my mottos from now on. You sure are an inspiration to me. You and the birds.
In a moment, we'll return to That's Rich. Over 1,700 American communities are participating in the annual voluntary collection for the Community Chests and United Funds. Give the United Way in your community. Now, back to That's Rich.
I'll get it.
Does Mr. Richard E. Wilt live here?
My goodness, what now?
A truckload of paper cups.
Oh, no. Cousin Richard, another lifetime supply of paper cups for you.
Oh, for me? Oh, are you sure?
The Mr. Richard E. Wilt bird expert from Mr. B.B. Hackett. With compliments.
Good night. Two lifetime supplies of paper cups. What's this one for?
Well, Cousin Howie, the other one was for suggesting blue heron egg blue. That was for the birds.
Yeah.
And this one is for suggesting that the suggestion I suggested was a good suggestion.
What are you going to do with two lifetimes?
Boy. Am I gonna live?
Ladies and gentlemen, that's our Rich.
This has been That's Rich, starring Stan Freberg as Richard E. Wilt, with Marvin Miller as Howard, Patricia Dunlap as Hazel, Bridget McCall and Tony Kaye as Holly and Happy Crump, Patty Chapman as Freckles, and Dawes Butler as Macabre. Also appearing in tonight's cast were Martha Wentworth, Bob Jellison, Will Wright, and Peter Leeds, with music by George Fields. That's Rich, created and written by Frank and Doris Hursley, is a Homer Canfield production. Roy Rowan speaking. This is the CBS Radio Network.
The debut episode of the comedy series That's Rich, starring Stan Freberg, from November 21st of 1953 on CBS Radio. And that does it for this hour of Old Time Radio. I'm Jake Longwell. Thank you, as always, for your company. I hope you enjoyed this trip back through time. And I hope you enjoyed it enough that you'll make it a point to tune in again soon for another hour of sounds from radio's golden era. The Upstate Radio Theater is distributed by Quality Radio Productions.